With 65 million people displaced worldwide, more than 20 million refugees, it's low and middle income countries sheltering most of them. Take Uganda, for example. The East African country on the shores of Lake Victoria is about the same size geographically as the UK. Its population's about 40 million and it shelters well over 500,000 refugees. With recent arrivals, that number may soon reach 1 million.
DW.
Robert Hakiza is one of those who found refuge in Uganda, and I had the opportunity to catch up with him while he was here in Bonn, giving a presentation to a conference of local governments for sustainability. He's co-founded an organisation called Young African Refugees for Integral Development, or YARID for short. Robert's originally from the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
I was born in a city called Bukavu.
And he was born into a large family, 12 kids in total, he's number 5, and they had a pretty comfortable life. He went through school and spent 6 years studying agriculture at university.
So I had a dream, you know, of finishing up my studies and I get for myself a very nice job. And I was very, very attracted by these international NGOs because, you know, in my country, those are the jobs that pays a lot of money. Actually, they pays in US dollars. The dream I had was, you know, when I finish, I get a job. And then I marry a very beautiful woman and I start my family. But unfortunately, when I finished, all my dreams were put down.
War and political instability has plagued the DRC for decades. And while Robert was able to study and dream for years, despite this insecurity that most everyone was facing, he had to leave the country in 2008 because of his father's political affiliations.
It happened that my family was targeted by these, rebel groups, and particularly my father. And, you know, they used to come and, you know, they used to put people on the list. And they say, you are the next, you are the next. So on the list that my family was put, the person who was before has been killed. So then we were advised by so many people that we should also leave, you know, because we didn't want that to happen to us.
Robert, his mother and younger siblings went to Kampala, the capital of neighbouring Uganda. Like so many refugees, they weren't planning to stay long, just wait things out 3 months or so. But soon their savings were running out and Robert found himself the man of the house for a while, at age 24.
In our cultures, when you are a man, and moreover when you are the oldest person, all the responsibilities, you know, in your head. And especially in the situation whereby my dad was not around, I had that responsibility of doing anything I could, you know, to get my family off of that situation. So that's why I can say I was very, very, very blessed and happy that I managed to get some job, because otherwise I would just felt like if I was useless.
While his sister started a small business selling necklaces and fabrics from Congo, something many refugees in Kampala do, Robert found a job teaching French to a Ugandan family who paid him well.
And that is how we started our life. That is how we managed. And this, because the policy of Uganda allowed refugees, you know, to move around, to do businesses. Otherwise, it wouldn't be easy for us.
It's worth taking a moment here to outline Uganda's policies for refugees. It's quite a contrast to other places where refugees are confined to camps, their movements are restricted, or they're not allowed to work legally. Refugees in Uganda are allowed to move about freely, to work for others or start their own businesses from the get-go. They're encouraged to be self-reliant. Most go to refugee settlements where they receive a plot of land for a small house and to grow their own crops. Initial food rations reduce over time. Refugees in urban areas like Robert in the capital Kampala are also allowed to make a life there if they can provide for themselves. Whether refugees go to the settlements or the cities, Robert says, often depends on whether they were used to urban or rural lifestyles back home.
I can't say that I've been really a burden to anyone, either UNHCR or the Uganda government. The good thing that I've received from the government is just to give me that freedom, because I believe that when someone gives you a freedom, they give you everything.
Robert went on to co-found YARID, Young African Refugees for Integral Development. The NGO works with other urban refugees in Kampala, uniting them through things like football games, English lessons, and even social media training. They aim to build skills and address issues including ethnic conflicts, unemployment, and access to education. The expertise he's built along the way has led him, among other places, to Bonn, where he gave a presentation to the local governments for sustainability conference about supporting refugee self-reliance. Robert has described himself as living proof that investment in refugees pays off.
When we started, it was quite difficult, but today my organization has 16 employees who are paying tax every day. Myself, from my salary, I think every month I pay 1 million Ugandan shilling as tax that goes to the government. All these refugees who are running businesses, those who have shops, they pay tax that goes to the government. That is a contribution.
1 million shillings is about 250 euros, roughly $275 US. Not an insignificant sum for Ugandans. It's still the dream of many refugees in Uganda to resettle in a wealthy country. Robert says that's because despite Uganda's relatively open policies, life's still tough for many. An example he gives is education. Children can spend years out of school, though in theory they can access public education. School fees, uniforms and books are unaffordable for many refugee parents. So the parents want to move overseas. For Robert personally, he says he's never thought about resettling in another country because he knows how hard it really is. Often the news refugees get from those overseas has an overly positive spin. They want it to seem like they've made it. And this creates a false impression. But Robert also has strong words for wealthy countries that are not willing to accept refugees and consider them a burden or a security threat.
We have the situation today that 90% of the refugees are hosted by poor countries, developing countries, while the people, the countries that has means and all the necessary to support these refugees and provide them with protection are closing their border. It's really so bad.
The situation in Uganda is becoming increasingly precarious too. At the moment, thousands of people are crossing into the country, fleeing the South Sudan conflict and famine. Uganda's government has already had to tell local people to leave public land it needs for more refugee settlements, and it's cut the size of the plots it assigns to refugees.
At certain points, Uganda is going to be overwhelmed by the refugees, and it's going to damage that good relationship that has been there for years between refugees and the local people. That is why I think it is a time for the government of Uganda to think about it, and also to the international community to come in and give it support. As I said, this is a shared responsibility.
Thanks to Robert Hakiza, co-founder and executive director of YARID, for speaking with me during his visit to Bonn last week.
This report was brought to you by DW.